That's what we were born to do, to glorify and honor his holy name, because he is worthy of all the praise. Amen. It's good to see you all this morning. We thank God for gathering and for worship. We've been blessed of the Lord to be here today. We know we're in the midst of the pandemic, but we want to still glorify and honor God because he is always worthy of the praise. Amen. We welcome those that are joining us online and those that are joining us in the parking lot. Let's give a clap in here so they can hear us out there. Amen. I want to thank the choir for bringing such a lovely song this morning and for opening up. We thank Reverend Givens and Reverend Ray as we are excited about this age in which we're living in. These are great times. I don't want you to ever forget that. These are great times. Why are they great times? Because God is still in control. He's letting man know that his power is limited, but the mercy of God endures forever. And we got to believe that as believers. Amen? I want to thank all of those that joined in yesterday for sharing in the memorial service, Reverend Givens and other ministers that were here. We thank them for joining in for the service for Rita Alexander. Very beautiful service for a very beautiful person. So continue to pray for Richard and the rest of the family as they are working their way through this. I want to thank the ushers for just being so important yesterday, trying to not only accommodate the family, but also to keep everybody safe. So we want to thank our ushers for being there on yesterday. Now, for the Sunday school on Zoom, we do have the Bible study and the Sunday school meeting at the same time. And we have this thing called rooms that you'll be assigned to or going to. Now, first of all, when you log into Zoom, if you cannot get in based on the link, you can always look down on the list in your email and you'll see a phone number as well as a meeting ID and password that you can use to get into these meetings. And just use your phone number if you're having problems with connectivity. And make sure you scroll down, look down, and you'll see the login information, the meeting ID, and the password. And you'll enter those, and you'll be able to get into the meeting. Now, if you'd like to get into the meeting, what you'd have to do is send an email to our website. Eddie has been doing a great job with that. He and Charlene Preston, they've been really doing a great job keeping up our website, and that's how we're getting everything out to everyone. So we got a lot going on. We got a Zoom going on this morning. We got Facebook Live and just a lot going on. So we're really grateful for that. Now, if you want to get the link, send an email to pastor@crossroadbc.com. That's pastor@crossroadbc.com, and you'll be able to get the link to that. And again, if you can't get into the link, scroll down the list, look at the phone number. I think the one for either Washington, D.C. or New York, you can use either one of those and dial that number and then enter your meeting ID and the password, and you should be able to get in with your phone. Now, we won't be able to see you, but you can hear us and you. Well, I don't know, you got these smartphones. I got to get smart enough to use them. So anyway, we'll try to get you into the meeting. And all meetings start at 7 p.m. We're not starting two meetings. Now, we're thinking about going from 6 to 8 with the different meetings, but that's a long time for an old man like me. It's time for my nap. So one meeting will do me in the evening. All right. So anyway, speaking of old man, my birthday is this month. Yes, Lord, we got to sing happy birthday to all the December folk. Those were the important people. We were born in the month that Jesus was born in. Yeah, we don't know which month Jesus was born in. But anyway, they said December 25th, but that'll work for me. Okay. All right, Sunday school books are available. So see Gary, when you leave out today, he'll be able to get you a Sunday school book so that you can have the lesson. You can go through it. Very good lessons. Matter of fact, the one this week was so closely aligned with our Bible study that it was almost, if you landed in the wrong room, I'm not going to mention who went there, but if you landed in the wrong room, it's still okay because we had a very good discussion. Our senior wellness ministry, they will be meeting this week at the Lake Vista Center, and that'll be at 10 o'clock. So you can see Brother Clavon, and he'll give you direction as to how to get there, the senior wellness meeting for this week. Also, we have two candidates for baptism. Jovell Wilson, we spoke with her and her father Joe on this past Sunday, and she has expressed that she wants to be baptized. She believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wants to be baptized. Also, Jalen, the granddaughter for Donna Robinson and Nicholas Robinson's daughter, she wants to be baptized as well because she has confessed her faith in Christ. So please pray for them. Pray for them that as we work our way and find out when it's safe to baptize, we still might do it. I'll have to talk with Brother Clavon and our infectious control experts. I'll have to talk to them as to how we go about that. Then lastly, pray for Derek Taborn, our member here at the church. His daughter passed away this past week, and he asked for the church to pray for them. And that's Deacon Taborn's granddaughter. So please be in prayer for them. We've got a couple of thank yous. And this first thank you comes from Doris Clark and Lewis Miller. They're saying, Pastor and church family, wishing you Christmas warm and happiness and a new year filled with joy. Thank you for the gift card sent in November and for Seniors Day. So they're thanking the church for that. And also we have a thank you from Janie Scott that says, thank you for the senior citizens gift, as well as thank you for the Christmas gift. So she's thanking the church for that. And we're grateful to hear from her. A lot of our seniors are not able to attend our worship service in person. And we certainly want to pray for them that they be safe, that God would take care of them, and the Lord would preserve them in his grace and love. Again, thank you all for putting up with these times that we're in. These are very stressful times. These are very times of where people have great needs. And we just want to continue in prayer. Also on yesterday, the Marshall, Mr. Marshall and Brooke Neal had a memorial service. And I see his grandson is here today. So I want to continue to remember the Marshall family in prayer and the loss of their loved one. We were unable to be there because of the service here, but we trust that everything went well with them. A lot of things going on, but God is in control. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with us this morning to a very important, I consider it one of the most important messages that can be preached from any pulpit at any time. That's how important this message is. It is pointing to the time of Christ as we're in the season to celebrate his entry into this world. Here's what the prophet Isaiah wrote some 800 or more years before Christ was born. Here's what he wrote. For unto us, Isaiah verse chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, which means you ain't got to vote for him, he voted for himself. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You say, how is it going to happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the power and might of God, will accomplish this. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. You may be seated. I want to preach on for just a few minutes the greatest prophecy of all times. The greatest prophecy of all time. This thing came to me the other night when I was asking God to give me a message. And the Lord laid upon my heart, this is the greatest prophecy that could ever happen anywhere and for any time. It is the greatest prophecy because it is speaking of God Himself. And I pray that God would help you to understand this message, to receive it, and also to allow it to transform you from the inside out. Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace. Bless us now to speak forth your word with clarity and, Lord, with understanding, that those that receive it might be transformed by the power of your mighty word. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people of God said, amen. You say, preacher, what makes this the greatest prophecy of all time? Let's put things into context, first of all. When we think of the Christmas message, when we think of speaking of when Christ was born, it was not those that were on the hillside outside of Jerusalem or outside of Bethlehem. It was not those that heard it first, but God first spoke to his prophets. He spoke to them and gave them the insight that this Lord, this God, this child would be born into this world. The message came to the prophets. Even before the star appeared in the east to the wise men, the message came to the prophets. Even before Mary heard the announcement that she was the chosen one, that she would bear the Christ child, even before that, the message came to the prophets and they wrote it down. And that message got repeated by those that believed. Those that were troubled, those that were going through difficulties in their life, they would repeat the message because it gave them hope. It gave them the assurance that things would not be always as they were. It gave them the blessing on the inside of their heart, knowing that everything was in the hands of God. God had planned all of these things to happen so that when it did happen, people couldn't say, well, we didn't know about it. So powerful was the message that God gave to the prophets that there were people that the Lord also spoke to and said, don't worry, you won't die until you see the Lord. Simeon was in the temple when they brought him in. And he had a message because he had heard the prophet speak about the one that was to come. A woman by the name of Anna, she was also in the temple, a widow waiting for the consolation of Israel. But they knew about the consolation because the prophets had told them. Long before those angels stood on that hillside and said to the shepherds, and spoke to them and told them that peace on earth and goodwill to all. Before they said that, and before they were given the word that unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, God spoke to the prophet and said, unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Don't you love that today? Don't you love the message and the things that God has put upon the hearts of mankind to know that he is the Lord? And to let us know that this thing didn't happen in a corner, that God foretold of it centuries before it was to happen. What a mighty God we serve. He wants us to know because he wants us to be prepared. And even as I speak this word today, the prophet has spoken the word and the prophecy has been fulfilled, but there are people who still refuse to believe. They refuse to believe because their heart is hardened. They refuse to believe because they don't understand how much grace and love God poured into the fact that he would send the Son. He could have said, I'm going to send a mighty warrior and I'll destroy the earth. But God didn't say that. He said, unto you, a child is born, which means he's going to grow up. A child is born. We can touch him. We can understand him. We can know about God by observing him. Jesus was born. He was not a man coming as a destroyer. He came as a Savior. And as that Savior, as the child, he grew up and he understood the struggles and the pain that we feel because he took on flesh. I love the way that John puts it. He said that Christ was born into this world and he took on flesh, but he was full of grace and truth. What a mighty God we serve. And this wonderful God, you say, well, preacher, why is this message so important? I want you to notice it says unto us. Circle that in your Bible, because it means it is also personal to every one of us. But even though Isaiah spoke it, he doesn't reserve it for himself. He could have said unto me. And certainly he would not have been wrong, because Christ was born for him. But he said, I want everybody to be included in this message. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You've got to look at it personally. You got to make sure that you understand it personally. If you don't take it in, then that this verse means nothing to you. When I'm talking about the greatest prophecy of all time, it means nothing until you include yourself in the us. In the us. Can I go country on you? We used to have this term that we called dim and nim. Dim was other people. Nim is our people. That's Ebonics. What do we mean by that? Our job is to let others know so that they can let others know, and then they can become us and not them. Our job as evangelical Christians is to tell the world that Christ is born. It is a prophecy. And that prophecy means it is to be repeated. Tell everybody. Let them know what a wonderful Savior we have. Unto us a child is born, but then is also universal. It's amazing how this thing was spoken, amen, 700-800 years before Christ came, but it got repeated. Even writing it down, it also was read, but it was repeated. Now, we know how to repeat stuff. We hear a report and we'll tell it everywhere. Do I have some witnesses here? But amen, I'm going to give you something else to tell. Tell unto us a child is born. Run and tell that. Tell that a Savior is given. Tell that the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'm saying that this is the greatest prophecy of all times. As we celebrate Christmas, I want us to know that even before that first Christmas day, when Christ was born in the manger and the shepherds came to watch, and then a year or so later, the wise men came to observe and they brought their gift. Long before that celebration, Isaiah said, I got it. Now, you and I were not witnesses to the birth of Christ. We were not eyewitnesses, but we can be a soul witness. We can say on the inside, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that he shall stand at the latter day. The greatest prophecy of all time. You say, preacher, why are you saying it is the greatest prophecy of all time? I'm saying that because this child. Everybody say this child. What child is this? This is the child that the government will be on his shoulder. In other words, he was born to lead. Some lead because they have influence. They're able to obtain the vote. They're able to obtain the support, and they become leaders. Some become leaders by invasion, by all of the other things. There have been leaders that God has sent, but it was only for a temporary time. I'm not talking about a temporary leader. I'm talking about a permanent leader. The government will be upon his shoulder, and our future will be secure because our leader is secure. What a great prophecy. What a wonderful thing that we can celebrate. We've had good leaders. They've been here. They've served. But there'll be none like Jesus. There'll be nobody like Jesus. Who ever heard a leader that would also be your counselor? You have to make appointments to go see big leaders or great leaders. You have to make appointments, and then you may get put off. But somebody, my grandma told me that you can call him in the morning. You can call him in the evening. You can call him late at night. Who have heard of such a leader that his name is also called Wonderful? Oh, that means he's amazing. He is amazing. Think about what he's done for you. Think about how he's dealt in your life. And wouldn't you say also, he's just wonderful. He's just wonderful. You can look at some folk and they say, how they? They say, well, they're all right. Oh, but we got a leader. He's wonderful. When people say, what kind of pastor y'all got? Y'all say, he's all right. Oh, but when you think about Jesus, you say, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. Ah, he's coming to you in the midnight. He's coming to you on the waves of your trial. He comes to you when your heart is torn. He comes to you when you're confused. He doesn't come to put you down. He comes to lift you up because he's a wonderful counselor. But then he's an everlasting father. Ah, praise God that his presence is with us. And the Bible tells us that the government shall be upon his shoulder. What child is this? This is the same child that it says his name will be Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In 1918, they signed what they called the Armistice Agreement. And they said this was the war that will end all wars. And ladies and gentlemen, we've had hundreds of wars since then, skirmishes all across the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus, the one that we're talking about, he even prophesied and said there will be wars and rumors of wars until when the Prince of Peace comes, he will sign a decree. Men will beat their swords into plowshares and they'll study war no more. Why? Because the Prince of Peace will come in the midst of us. We won't have to have all of these fights and you know, you right, I'm wrong, and I'm right, you wrong. No. He's right. We're wrong. But we can get right through him. I'm telling you, there's going to be peace on earth, and there'll be goodwill toward men. This is the greatest prophecy of all time. And I must declare to you, because of any message that I could preach at any time, or any other preacher that could preach at any time, none could be greater in prophecy than this one. None could be greater. Now, this message and this prophecy does not mean that others have been eradicated. They will be fulfilled in their time. You know, we will see the end time. We will see what the Bible calls the rapture of the church, and we will witness those things. But none can be greater than this one who comes to sit upon the throne. All the angels will gasp in awe. And all of us will bow down and worship when the Lamb is seated upon the throne. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? Some people say, I read it and it frightens me. Don't be afraid, because this prophecy, amen, is all talking about Jesus. And what he's telling us in the book of Revelation, these things got to work their way out. But when I come, there'll be peace. I could shout on that. This is the greatest prophecy of all time, because it says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, every prophecy in the Bible points to him. Every prophecy, if it doesn't end with Jesus, it doesn't mean a thing. There are people that are telling you, well, you need to watch this and you need to watch that. And Jesus said, you need to watch them. Because they'll try to get you confused. They'll try to get you off track. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I love to hear about the holy city. You know, in Revelation, where it talks about the holy city coming down from God as a bride adorned for a husband. What if the holy city had no king? It may as well have stayed up in heaven. But when it comes down, it'll have a king. And his name will be called Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, I love to hear the prophecy about where the lion and the lamb will lay down together. Isn't that a wonderful picture? But what made them lie down together? The presence of a mighty king, and his name is Jesus. Why is this the greatest prophecy of all time? It is the greatest prophecy of all time because it says that his kingdom will have no end. Isaiah went on to say in chapter 9 and verse 7, he says, that of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. Did you all read that? I circle the word henceforth. What does that mean? When you accept him into your life. And now I'm getting into the depth of this thing, because why is this prophecy given? When you accept him into your life, you can't change the world. But you can certainly accept the word and it'll change you. Do I have any witnesses here? It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you treat others. This word changes you, because this is the greatest prophecy that ever lived. Let me tell you three things and then I'm going to go to my seat. This word changes us, first of all, because God came in person. Write that down in your Bible. God didn't just call out the rules and guidelines from heaven. He came personally. There were things that Jesus Christ did personally in the person of God. As it says in Colossians, all the fullness of God is in him. People like to think about Jesus as being a little bit less God. No. You got it all wrong, child. You got it all wrong. He is totally God. And don't ask me how you can get all of God into one body. I don't know how it did it, but I tell you what, I'm glad he did. Praise God Almighty. When you look at him, you understand why he came in person. The Bible prophesied and said that when he's come, he will save his people from their sin. As a matter of fact, you will call his name Jesus. And here's what happened. The prophets in the Old Testament said what would happen. And then the prophets in the New Testament and the gospel writers, all they had to do is say, done. What does it mean, preacher? Well, it said in Genesis 49 and 10 and Jeremiah 33 and 16 that they're going to call his name Jesus. And then Matthew 1:21, all Matthew did is put a stamp on it and said, done. It's done. I love what it says in the prophecy. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That was in Isaiah 7 and 14. And then Matthew took up a pen and said, done. Here's the verse I like. It said in one of the verses in Micah 5 and verse 2 that it said that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. But then when you accepted Christ, all we who were like sheep have now accepted the grace of God. For it says in Joel 2 and verse 32, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Romans 10:13, it repeats it. But when you accept it, it says, done. God saved you by his grace. God loves you, and he wants you to know him as the healer of your soul. He wants you to understand that he is the mighty God, that he is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. But I close with this. All of those promises wouldn't mean very much if God didn't have a future plan for us. Some people look at him as the God of yesterday, and they may look at him as the God of today, but do you not know he's also the God of tomorrow? Let me talk to you. The prophets were good. Isaiah, amen, he did what God told him, but there's no better prophecy than to hear it from the mouth of Jesus. I feel like preaching here. Do you know what our Lord said? Do you know what he said? He said, now I go away, but I'll come again. You say, well, that's no prophecy. It is a prophecy of the future, because he went away. He went through the door of death. Did you not know that? But death couldn't hold him. Death had to turn him loose, because he had the resurrection power. He died for our sins, but he rose to justify us. Ah, yes. And when Jesus rose, the Bible said, God put all power in his hand. So here you go, son. Here you go. Here's all power in your hand. That's why he can make The statement and the prediction, I will come again. But in between those words, Jesus said this in St. John 14 in verse 3, I believe it. He says, he said, I'll go away to prepare a place for you. That's a future plan. I know you got your house, you're paying your rent or you're paying your mortgage and you're trying to make sure you do all those things necessary to keep it up. But I can tell you that your house that you're living in now is temporary. I'm talking about a real house. As a matter of fact, your house that you're living in ain't nothing more than a tent. Ah, can I get a witness in here? But in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That is a future plan. And then Jesus said, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. He says, I'm coming again, and I'll receive you unto myself. The greatest prophecy of all time is Jesus. You say, why did he go away? He went away to bear your sins. Your sins had to be taken out. In the Old Testament, they gave us a picture and something called a scapegoat. And that scapegoat, one would confess their sins over that goat, and then they would release it. They would take a person out into the wilderness, and they'd release it. You wonder what happened to the scapegoat. It was only a picture. Don't worry about the scapegoat. Worry about what the scapegoat meant. It meant that one day, this Savior would come and take your sins into a place where they can never be found again. That's why when people try to look in your face and say, I remember what you did, you tell them, I can't remember because my sins have been taken away. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. You are free today. You are released today because of Jesus. So he had to go away. He had to take our sins far away. But then he had to go from the wilderness up to the throne, because that's where he'll be seated as Lord of Lords. He was seated first in glory, and then he'll be established on the earth. The Bible said after he had finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that something? Now, you can't see it now, but you're going to see it later when the Lord shall come in the rapture and gather his people to himself. The Bible tells us that we're going to meet him in the air. Amen. I've flown on planes, but I never flew by myself. Some of y'all missed that. Ah, but some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll be glad when one day troubles of life will be over. I'll fly away, and I'll be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What if Isaiah had never told us? We couldn't shout about that. He said, preacher, it hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen because the one who did everything else is going to do that. He will do exactly what he said. Well, I'm done preaching for this Sunday, but I want you to leave with the thought in your mind that the greatest prophecy that could ever be given on the face of this planet, didn't mean that there are no other prophecies. We didn't say that. We said the greatest of all prophecies is right here. I want you to take this with you. This will be your parting notes. For unto us, that includes me, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. In other words, that government is going to be from the top of Mount Everest down to the valleys that are lowest on the face of this planet. His government shall be from east to west, from north to south. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. You see, because he was born of the seed of David. And he's going to be established as that eternal king. Don't you love it? and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and even forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm telling you, you got to discover this. The only way that you can have the spirit of prophecy is that you got to have the spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of Christ in you that bears witness that you belong to God, everything gonna be all right. Don't look at the trial that you're going through and say, oh, I don't know how I'm gonna go through that. You're gonna go through it because there's another side. Remember, I told you he's coming again. He's coming for you. Oh, I'm crying right now, but you'll rejoice then. I'm going through pain right now. I'm struggling. Let the Holy Spirit guide you through everything you're going through and then look for that bright day. Look for that bright morning. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Savior, King, Healer, Wisdom. Anything that is brought of God, amen, you will know that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for this glorious message. Lord, we can shout about it, but now we want to tell others. Somebody's looking at the wrong news report. They're looking at the news report of man, and they're becoming discouraged. But Lord, let them read the ancient news of the prophet Isaiah. Unto you, unto us, a child is born. May those that are listening online find peace through this. I know you're struggling. We all are. But this is not the end of the matter. Christ is our Lord. Bless them now, Father. Save those that are there in need of salvation. Strengthen those that are discouraged. And heal us all that we might receive your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands one more time. Before we close, we ask that you leave your offerings as you come and see Gary for your Sunday school books. Don't you love this word of God? Amen. I'm excited. I'm telling you, this thing is unfolding. As you go out today, remember, oh, we forgot to sing happy birthday. You know what? No, I ain't gonna let y'all go. Close the doors, usher. They got to sing me a song today. All the December birthdays, if you're online, wave your hand. If you're in here, stand up. We're going to sing happy birthday because this is our birthday. We were born in the same month that the Wright brothers flew the plane. We're born in the same month that we celebrate Christmas. Amen. So y'all got to sing happy birthday. Let's all stand. All the December folk, wave your hand. December, wait, where are you? All right, good, good, good. Good folk, good folk. Y'all look at them now. Good people. Those are my people. That's Nim.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
May God bless you. Brother Kraft, who closes out in prayer.
Our Father, and our most wise and eternal God, this morning, Lord, we just pause to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for our life, our health, and our strength. We pause, Father, to thank you, Father, having our movements and the activities of our limbs. We pause this morning, Father, to thank you, Lord, for letting us see another day. We realize that, God, you are God, and you are God all by yourself. We realize, oh, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Father, we'll just fail and fall flat on our face. But we thank you, Lord, for your love and grace, your kindness, your mercy, and your joy. We thank you, Father, for being God, that we can call on in the morning, in the noonday hour, And Lord knows you can call you in the midnight hour. Father, we thank you for being a God that who comforts the bereaved family, who put joy back in your heart, who put peace in your life, and who put joy in your step. Father, we thank you for being that type of God. Lord, we ask you, as we continue to go on and do your work, Father, bless this church. Bless your people. Bless Pastor Coleman and his family. Bless all who work and carry out your word, Father. We realize that the days are getting shorter. The nights are soon to end. But where our life is connected to you, Father, we will live forevermore. Father, we pray, as we leave this place, that you could grant us with traveling mercy. Bless those who may be at home sick. Father, give them strength to hold on and realize that you are a healer. Father, we ask you to bless the offering, Father, that we're about to receive. And we pray, Lord, that it may be used for your strength, your building, and your work. Father, we pray to dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Cut them off.